a service just about testimonies, right?
Whoops. Timber. Easy does it there, big boy.
It's a good thing that's a new stage. So last week, after service last week, one of our ladies came up and actually talked to Glenda, who talked to me, but had to talk about, you know, wanting to do something special. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, as we know, the month of October. We did our stuff with Pastor Shane last week. But one of the things I said last week during that Pastor Appreciation, if you remember right, is one of the things that the church can do, the biggest thing the church can do, I think, is to share your story, to share your testimonies with everybody out there, but don't forget the pastor. And it's really important because the pastor, you know, it's as the pastor, and it's, you know, as many times I've stood up here and speaked also, it solidifies in your mind that you're on the right track, that God's got you going exactly where you need to go. Because, you know, the stats that I gave last week that talked about how many pastors have doubt in their faith, they have doubt in their callings, they have, you know, other thoughts that sometimes they have, you know, that's all real. That's all real stuff that pastors go through, and they yep. wonder, did I say sure. the right things today? Did I do the right things? Was it even worth the 2 hours of sitting up here and talking? You know, was it worth that? And by sharing our testimonies with other people, but also our pastors, is huge, right? Because it lets them know that, yeah, it's very important, that what you're doing is very important. And it's not just, you know, to make you feel good, and it's not just to please God, but it's changing lives in everybody that comes in and out of these doors, and everybody that we touch when we go out of here, right? So that's what brought us to this point tonight. So what we're going to do, the plan is we're going to go through and tell some testimonies. I'll start it off, and then I'm going to have Glenda come up and give a testimony. And after that, what we'll do is if you have a testimony that you would like to share of, like we said, it's like Glenda said this morning, is we've all got great testimonies, and we could go all day on our testimonies. But let's really focus tonight on what has happened in your life. What has God done in your life since getting involved with Harvest Christian Assembly here in Myrtle Creek? You know, and it's not about Shane. It's not about our pastor. It's about what has God done in your life to change your walk with Christ, to change the way that you portray yourself to others and everything else. So I'll start off with mine. Most of you know, I've talked about it before. You know, I grew up here. I grew up in Caneyville. Graduated out of high school back in 94 right here at South Umpqua. I left here and joined the service. Joined the Coast Guard, and I went off and did that for 25 years. I knew God during that time. I knew who God was, but I didn't take it serious. You know, it's, you know, I hear the word sometimes, the part-time Christians. Well, that was definitely where I was at, right? I knew who Jesus was. I knew that Jesus died on the cross for us, but I was a part-time Christian. I didn't take my walk with Christ very serious. And it's just, I didn't know. I didn't have the right teaching, the right messages, the right things in my life that made me focus on what's important. And I think we all hit that point in our lives sometimes where we realize what's important, and there's nothing more important than our relationship with Christ, obviously. So when we got here in 2020, and you know, I wish I had a different testimony to tell sometimes, you know, one that's a real heartfelt, because some people's testimonies are, you know, they'll bring tears to your eyes. I don't have one of those testimonies. My testimony is, you know, how I went from just a young man here growing up local, just like Casey Cole grows up here, right? Our young boys grow up to, you know, today, you know, I'm now a pastor, you know. So it's that change. It's what did God do in my life to get me to this point? And for Harvest Christian Assembly, I can tell you that for me, it was coming in here, and it was the day I walked in here, and we've all said it, the day you walked in here, you felt the family, you felt the love, you felt the Holy Spirit when you came in here. Even if your relationship with Christ wasn't as solid as it is today, you still knew the Holy Spirit was here. You knew that there was a lot of things going on in this building that we had no control over, nor do we want control over, right? We want the Holy Spirit to just reign out in this building, and He does. He does every time we're in here. So through that, it's, you know, Pastor Shane, one time, you know, Tab and I were both talking about this, and we started kind of, I won't say drawing back from the church, but we started getting busy with life, right? Our priorities were starting to change a little bit. You know, the Wednesday night service, well, you know, if we skipped Wednesday night, it wouldn't kill us. So Pastor Shane called me one weekend, and he said, hey, we got this new soundboard, and I don't really know all this techie digital stuff all that well. Do you mind coming down and listening in while they're setting it up so you know kind of what they're talking about? I was like, okay. Lo and behold, did I know that I was getting roped in. I was gonna say bamboozled, but roped in works. But I got roped into anytime the doors are open and the sound's on, I was here.
Jesus is the cowboy.
And that was, you know, and I don't know that was Pastor Shane's intention on that necessarily at the time to 100% that, but that was Jesus' intention. And he worked straight through our pastor to make sure that happened, to get me involved and to get me in here all the time and to change my relationships. I'll tell you what, after that, that's when my relationship with Christ changed. That's when, you know, I started taking things a little bit more seriously, and I realized that, you know, what gifts do I have that I could bring to the church that you know, helps this things that I'm comfortable with, right? Those spiritual things we talked about, those spiritual gifts. What am I comfortable with? What can I do? So we started talking about it, and we started kind of figuring out, okay, what things am I good at? What things am I not good at? What do I need to work on? And just doing a lot of praying, right? Tons and tons of praying on what God has in plan, had in store for us. You know, so that's kind of what brought me to where I'm at today. And, you know, I'm still, you know, I always tell everybody, I'm still just a baby in Christ. You know, I have so much to learn, and I'm so excited to learn about it. Right. You know, and I think that Pastor Shane will probably tell you the same thing. He's got so much that he's got to learn still, and he's been doing this for, you know, almost as long as, well, since I've been out of high school, put it that way. So, right, because you started in the early 90s, right? So, you know, as long as I've been an adult, he's been doing this. So we can all learn, and we continue to learn, and we continue to just, you know, get better and better at our walk with Christ, and better and better of what we do sharing to other people. So that's my testimony. That's what's brought me here. Lynn, you want to come on up? Oh, I told her she had to come up.
I'm going to help her. She's a senior.
That's true. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, she's a princess. That's what I should have said.
I'm a senior. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, now then, hear this senior testimony. Okay, so this first testimony, which I'm just going to be reading, is from Tammy, because Tammy couldn't be here. Okay? And it says, my wonderful, I don't want to cry, but this is heartfelt.
Hold the mic close. You got this.
Can't read. Yeah. I'm not that good. Okay, here we go. This is from Tammy. My wonderful Shane, my partner in this life, and my pastor. I'm proud of the man you've become, your dedication, growth, and your relationship with God. Your strength, kindness, loyalty, and hard work, especially the ways you help and support others, they truly stand out. Thank you for all you do to provide for us and make life better for those around you. Your efforts don't go unnoticed. God is using you for his glory, and I know he will continue to guide you to greater things. Some of my best memories are of how you made me feel special, brought laughter into my life, and taught me to slow down and appreciate the moments. We've faced challenges and hardships together, but after 35 years, we're still standing strong. I'm excited for tomorrow and looking forward to what the Lord has for Harvest Christian Assembly. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and love me. Uh-huh. Okay, so that was Tammy's testimony to him. You ready for all this?
Not about him.
Not about you. Okay, so my testimony. So God brought me to this church about 8 years ago now. And I would say this is where I met Jesus, is in this church. Under that man, okay. But evidently, God had a plan and a purpose for me. Little did I know, or ever even dream. I always sit on the back row, close to the door. I still sit on the back row, but I got away from the door. Okay. So I just sat there and I listened, and I learned from Pastor Shane. And then one day, I got bamboozled. I consider Tammy as a pastor also here. She is a pastor, but she's definitely been a mentor to me, right along with Shane. So she comes up to me and she says, "We have to be gone. Can you do announcements?" I said, "Oh, no." Just like that, "Oh, no." And so the next week, she gave me 3 weeks' notice to do this. The next week, she says, "You know, can you do them?" I said, "Oh, well, maybe." And the third week, she says, "Well, it's next week. You going to do it?" And I said, "Well, okay, I will." I was so afraid. I was so nervous. I'm nervous right now. I was so nervous. You remember that night? Do you remember that day?
I do.
Oh, my gosh.
Clearly.
I'm doing the announcements. Jonathan is on one side right here. Kathy Hill is on one side right here, waiting for me to faint. I was shaking so badly. That's how awful it was. And then the next time, it was 3 months later, she asked me again. I said, "Oh my gosh." I was just as nervous. Anyway, during that time, God gave me a motto. It's just for me. I share it with everybody, but it's my motto. And my motto is, if I do my best, God will do the rest. Amen. So all I did was walk up here and say, "Hey, good morning." And everybody says, "Hey," you know? So it's worked out. But that was a baby step towards something bigger and better that God had planned for me. And once again, Tammy roped me. And I had done a few Bible studies with her over, you know, since I've been here, off and on. Nothing spectacular, just a little subject, and I could just do a little speech on or something. And she says, "I need to do the other thing." She says, "God is pulling me in a different direction now, and I don't have time for everything that I need to do." She says, "Will you take over the women's Bible study?" I said, "No." That's the first answer out of my mouth always. It's always no. And so the next time I was like, "Well, okay, maybe." And then we came, and she says, "Linda's going to do Bible study today." Actually, she called me like maybe a few days before, and she said, "I can't do it." She said, "You can have my notes and do what I had." I said, "I can't do that." I said, "I can't do you what you have." She said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, honestly, I don't have any choice except to do Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I said, because God has had me sitting in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 for the last 2 weeks, every single morning. I'd get up, I'd say, okay, I can pass these two and I can go down to verse 5. You know? I couldn't get past that God created the world. And his spirit hovered over the world. I couldn't get past that. I said, it has to be that. So I sat down with that. And I said, "Okay, God, I'll give it a shot. You got to do the rest. You got to do the rest." So basically, long story short, that was 2.5 years ago. And I've been doing the Bible study since then. I just want to say that through that time, that God has taken me places and he showed me events that I didn't know were in the Bible. He showed me things. I've experienced emotions that I never saw in the Bible. I've been able to put myself in that scene, in that scenario, and feel what they felt. And God had things to teach me. He's still teaching me, like Bill, every single day. And he taught me through the other women in that Bible study. He taught me. And then he taught me through Pastor Shane. Every time Shane would say something, and I said, "Oh, I need to look at that a little bit closer." And so then I would do that. So because of Pastor, so now I can I can go back through the promises in the Bible. And I can say, you said, you promised, now you deliver. You do what you said. Okay? I know where my strength is in Jesus now. I know where my shelter is. Pastor Shane prayed joy over me once. And since that time, I have found joy. I have found the joy in the Lord. I am so grateful that Jesus beckoned to me, and then he led me to this church. I'm so grateful for the for Shane and Tammy, for their patience, for their stamina, their, what do you call it when you hang on to something forever? Tenacity. To hang on when they didn't want to. But like you said this morning, there's a thread that weaves itself through the Bible. That thread is Jesus. They hang on to that thread when times got tough. And so they still sit here today. Okay? I will continue to follow my path, letting my light shine, as Shane is trying to teach us to do that. I just pray that, probably not every day, but off and on, that my light is bright enough for other people to see. Okay? I give all the honor and the glory to God, but I give the guidance to Shane and to Tammy. And I love both of you.
Who's so next? So as you raise your hand, Pastor Shane's going to bring the mic over to you and let you give your testimony. Let him hold the mic, please, because that way he can keep it up by your mouth, and because otherwise we wind up having it down here and nobody can hear you. So, okay, who's got a testimony? Who wants to share one? All right, let's start in the front.
I'm always talking, right? Do you want me to get up or just sit here?
You can just sit there.
Okay. Well, we moved here to Myrtle Creek in 18, and we've tried a couple of churches, but then we were going by and we saw this little sign that said the perfect place for people who aren't, and we looked at each other and said, I think that's the place for us, because we certainly aren't. So we came in the first day and everybody greeted us, and I have to tell you that we weren't used to this kind of church. It was loud, everybody singing, talking in tongues, and we're just kind of going, whoops. But no, God wanted us here. So the next week we came back, and then we learned so much from this church. But then the next year our daughter died, and then we learned how passionate and caring the people of this church are. And then the next year I got cancer, and we did it again. They were so praying for me and uplifting, and then the flood. And even though they were swimming just as bad as we were, they came to help us too. I mean, this church is an absolute, we've been to churches since we were married. And this church, I mean, I'm not putting other churches down, because we did have some good churches, but this church is a special church, and it's because of you and Tammy. We love you both.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
I'll go ahead and go up here. Anyway, I don't know how much you guys really know about me. After I come back from Vietnam, I was a farm boy. I didn't do anything wrong. Never got in trouble. And I came back from Vietnam, and I couldn't stay out of trouble. Then I got mixed up in all the colorful stuff. I'll just put it that way. And I was the person that you didn't want your kids around. And I bounced around from one big city to the next for a while. And then I finally started getting some of the tragedy out of my life. And I was in Grants Pass, and I was sitting at the corner of
eighth in the railroad tracks, waiting for the train to go through. And just out drinking beer and doing this and doing that. And just plain as I'm talking right now. God said, I have enough of this. You're going to straighten up or I'm going to take your life. It was that loud. I said, yes, sir. But that started to change. But I had a bad reputation for cleaning people's clocks. It didn't do what I thought they should. Or if they did me wrong, it was over for them. And God cleaned up so much of that stuff. And then when I met Sharon, I was square dancing, and I had gone to a square dance in Medford, and she was out there on the floor dancing with somebody else. I knew the guy. And I looked at her, and I said, I'm going to marry her. 3 months later, we were married, and 40-plus years, we're still married. So it does work. When I was working at Roseburg Forest Products, I had 5 years before I retired. And just talking, I said, okay, God, I want the spirit of Paul. And you have 5 years to do it. That's just exactly how I said it. And so 5 years went by. I retired. I said, okay, God, where is the spirit of Paul? I wanted it. And I said, if anything we ask for, if it's within reason, you give it to us. Now, so where's the spirit of Paul? Nothing. 2 weeks later, we were at a square dance, and my daughter liked to go and just yak. And she was talking to some old codger. And he said, oh, you're religious. And she's yelling for dad. And so I go over after a bit, and I start talking to him. And he said, oh, you're religious too. And I snapped. I said, a whore is religious. You look it up in the dictionary. It has nothing to do with spirituality. All it means is to do something faithfully. And I hear in the background, that's it. Get him, Preacher Ray. There's Paul. And God has blessed me so much since I got the spirit of Paul. I stand in grocery store lines, and whether it's a checker in front of me or the lady behind me, I'll say, sweetheart, how are you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing okay, blah, 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 blah. And she said, how are you doing? I said, God is blessing me. And all of a sudden, everybody's chiming in, and they're elevating God. And at one point, a long time ago, God asked me to be a preacher. I said, no way, it ain't happening. And some years later, he said, I'm not offering it again. But he did tell me that your ministry now is one-on-one discipling people the rest of your life. And that's what I do. Two or three people at a time, I pour my life into. I've brought three different homeless people into my house. It's not happening again. But but anyway, I have poured my life into other people now. God has forgiven me. I'm not saying I was right, but God has forgiven me. And Vietnam, and I tell kids this, I do believe they should serve. But war is not what you think it is. It's a cruel taskmaster. And you know that. And you be careful when you start volunteering for special forces or all these fancy things. I'd been there and done that, and it's a rough road later, a real rough road later. So when you're, I was 12 when I originally accepted Christ as my Savior. And I can even remember where I was sitting in the Sunday school room and my Sunday school teacher's name. It was that real. But I walked away. All because my dad and I got in an argument over a football game. And I have never watched football since. It just destroyed football for me. And come to know Christ as your Savior. Have a life of servanthood. I'm not asking other people to do what I do in a grocery line. God has got a different mode for everybody. That's what works for me. And I'm not, that may not be for you, but it is for me, and it works for me. And God does forgive when you make big mistakes. He does forgive. And just when he does, be serious about it. Move forward and strive to love and serve. I love my wife so much. She's so precious to me. And I do my best to take care of her. So anybody, be it male or female, take care of your spouse. Love them. Help them. Be there for them. And they may be a pain in the rear at times. Ignore it. Just ignore it. And just move on with life. Life is too short and too precious to hold a grudge. And I love this man here. He's awesome. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Amen. All right, who's next? In the back. Come on up, Evan.
Okay. So when I first started coming here, I was struggling with addictions. My addictions were D, all of the above. All right. I'd quit doing methamphetamine, right? But before I came here, I went to the river, right? And I prayed to God and I gave it all to him. And then I started going to church here. And for months I'd been battling. I thought it was like my conscience, right? But it was the Lord working on, just like you preached, working on one thing at a time, right? And man, I'd build up, and then I'd get to a point, and I'd throw it all away, and then I'd do it again, over and over and over again. Well, I finally just gave it all up. And when I came here, and you guys are very welcoming, by the way, and he preached that sermon, and there were many others that touched me also. But I'm now like, I don't even smoke, I don't vape, I don't do any of that. Like, I don't even drink. I'm 274 days out without alcohol, drugs, all that. So, like, thank you guys. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Misty, come on up.
274 days alcohol free.
I'm not good at talking, so I'll make this kind of short and sweet. So, like, back in June, I woke up to, I can yell it.
No, go ahead.
I woke up to a voice in my head, telling me that I needed to get up and get ready for battle. I haven't heard that voice in a long, long, long time. So I called my sister and I told her, you're just amazing. I called my sister and I told her what was what God told me, and she said that that it's time. And she explained about the armor of God. With the job that I had, I could not come to church because I worked Sunday mornings. But what I could do was talk to people and interview people that came in after church. So without their knowledge, I talked to I don't know how many people. And I talked to the people that were smiling, talked to the people that were happy, talked to the people that were that had a light shining off of them and was just, I don't know, they were just happy and they were just shining, and I was like, okay. So I took those people and I asked them all where they went to church. Out of all the people that I asked, most of them came from here. So when I got another job to where I could come to church, this is where I wanted to go. I looked up the website and it said something about perfect place for imperfect people. Well, that's me. So that's how I came here. The people out of this church that came into the store that I saw, that I talked to, that were radiating, most of them came from here. And that told me something really, really good was happening here. So that's how I got here. And I think it reflects from the pastor. Just saying. Just saying. So that's it. That's all I really got. That's just how I got here.
All right, who's else got a testimony? Come on up, Bree.
Dang, I'm already emotional. Okay, so I wasn't going to do this till I hit my 90 days. But as most of you know, I'm a recovering drug addict. I'm almost 3 months. I got 75 days. Yeah. Thanks. It's hard. Every week is hard. August 4th, I was sitting in a hotel room, and I just decided that I was going to go to rehab. I've been to multiple rehabs, like multiple times. None of them ever worked. But I decided I was going to go. I ended up having to leave, but I knew that I was going to do it this time. And I came into this church with my parents, and I sat right there. And I listened to you preach, and it hit me really good, like really good. And ever since that day, I have came back here. I have told people about this place. I go to meetings 5 days a week, and I literally preach to them all day long about this place and about God and about, like, you can get fixed, you can get help. And then the next week, I came back and I seen Evan. And Evan and I were pretty close back in our day, you know? So when I walked in and I seen him, and I knew this was the place that I wanted to be. And it just makes it all so much more better that he's here doing it with me. Amen. So, amen. Yes. Thank you.
Yep. Awesome.
You know, I want to say one thing about that also. We shouldn't be surprised on how great God works, right? We shouldn't be surprised by it, but yet we always are. But Bree, you don't even know this. This church knew you before you ever walked through these doors. You know, we knew you through the Grief Share program from just stories that we knew from your mom and dad, and we knew you here in this church from stories from your mom and dad. So it's awesome how God works that you came into a place that you already known, although you didn't know that. There were a lot of people praying for you already. Okay, who's next? Who's else got a testimony? Here we go.
I'll hold it.
Come on.
I'm not going to sing. This is not going to be my life testimony. This is going to be my church testimony. Okay? My life testimony, if you ever read it, would be like a fiction. And it would disgust you if you had a pure heart. But 45 years ago, the Lord called me to the altar in the Portland Coliseum from the second deck, and I didn't remember going there. When I came to, I was standing there bawling like a baby, and I knew my life had to change. I came back home, and you will find out when you start serving the Lord, out of the life that I was living, you don't have any more friends. They're gone. They can't stand the idea that you're going to be something different than what you were. So I lived through that. And I searched for churches. I searched for what I needed, what I was supposed to do. And I kept asking the Lord, what am I supposed to do? And I never heard him tell me anything. I just kept searching and struggling. I tried a couple of different churches. That didn't happen. Then my teenage daughter started having suicidal thoughts, and so we found a counselor for her, and that counselor happened to be the pastor of Harvest Christian Assembly. No, not Assembly. Harvest Christian Fellowship, which was on the hill on Leon Street. It started out as Harvest Christian Fellowship, and when Tom Floria left and Sister Basil took over, it became Harvest Christian Assembly. And we started going to church there because of our daughter going to counseling there. We'll search this out, we thought. Well, I had kind of more or less grew up in the Nazarene church and the Baptist church, which, you know, the conservative Baptist church. I didn't really know the difference until I started going to a Pentecostal church. Shock. In my old life, I used to be at my in-laws' place across from the Church of God and would hear them wailing and carrying on and everything else and talk about the Holy Rollers and make fun of them. Well, God made me one. You know, I used to make fun of them, and now I are one, and so slap in the face, there you go. But as this church transpired, and I'm talking 40 years, 40 plus years ago, about 42 years ago that I came to this church, and have served in a lot of different capacities, taught Sunday school, done all that stuff, but God put it on my heart. He said, protect my house. So I've been an usher and a greeter, and I help with the whatever's need done in God's house. That's my goal. That's my job. Well, it came around to I've seen things in this church, some pretty troubled waters, some waters where the oars were actually broken, and we were struggling with our hands to find where we were going. And I went to the altar one day. Things had fallen apart. The pastor left. We didn't have a pastor. And so I contacted the, what is it we belong to? Yeah, Grace International, which, and had a meeting with them and said, well, what should we do? This was RJ and I that did this. And said, what do we need to do? And he said, don't worry about it. I'll have a pastor down there for you. So they decided to put us under the covering of Garden Valley Church, which worked out well, pretty much. And we had different pastors all the time. Then all of a sudden one day, they bring this guy into our church. Oh, no. And I go, I know him. He's a lot younger than me,
but I was in the same class as his oldest sister when they moved here, when they first came. And she was, yeah, in fact, she sat across from me, and we didn't get along well. Anyway, and then as we transgressed on through high school, his older brother, I was friends with him when he got had a bad car accident and left us. But it was like, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? And so I went to God, and I went to the altar, and I says, God, what am I supposed to do? I says, people are leaving the church. We don't have a pastor right now. But what am I supposed to do? I went to the altar. I left this part out. This was before he showed up. But I went to the altar, and I asked God, I need you to speak to me. Because I had never heard God's voice before. You know, and I don't know how many of you have, but he does have one, and he will tell you. And I was praying, and I was weeping on the altar, and all of a sudden this voice just says, be still, my son. And I go, who's talking to me? And I turn around and look back, and there's nobody around me. And I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. Stay right where I was at, and I'm still here. Now, you're talking about almost 44 years ago. So we've traveled through this church, but I'm not going to get into my personal past. That's for another time, another place. But when Pastor Shane and Tammy came here from Utah, they were transitioning into the church system here, and they brought him and introduced us. And I'm going, you know, you go back to, I knew his reputation from before. Okay. Are we human or what? Right? And then I thought, no, let's see what he's got. And he's got it. He's got it. And so when I was asked, would he be a good pastor for this church? I said, absolutely. And I love him more than anything. So that's my testimony for the church. This is a house of God, and this is a man of God, and his heart is with you and for you. Amen? Amen.
Hello. This is as close as yesterday. I went to town to go grocery shopping, and I don't know if anybody has been in Roseburg the last few days, but Satan is so prevalent, it is not even funny. I went to Sherm's. And across the street is Mercy Hospital. Out in front of that hospital, this part of my gift is exaggeration, but I am not kidding you. I have never seen so many people on one street. They were protesting. And I thought, God, what's going on? What is this? And I had been over at the gas station on Garden Valley and asked the gas station attendant, what's happening? Oh, well, they're protesting. I don't know. And just the signs say, all rest in peace or some such thing. I thought, well, this is crazy. So he told me that the group was over at Mercy. So I went to Sherm's, and I walked into the store, and there was a group of kids from Umpqua Valley Christian School having a bake sale. And I asked them, what's happening across the street? And they said, oh, they hate President Trump. And I said, what for? for heaven's sake. And I'm not trying to turn this into a political situation at all, but this is just the way that God broke things yesterday for me. I went into the grocery store and I saw a man with a shirt on, and he must have been from one of the protesters across the street. And his shirt said, "Canada, we hate him too." And I looked at him and I said, "Who do you hate?" And his wife spoke up and said, "Trump." And I said, "Why? What did he do?" And I got to back up just a second. The bake sale, I asked the lady, and she said, "Oh, there have been pictures set up with President Trump with a crown on, like he's going to be the king, and he wants to do this." And I said, "My goodness, do they not realize that he did not do that?" The deceitful, arrogant Satan that is trying to take all of us down is causing all of this. We know that in our hearts. Okay, so I'm going through the grocery store, and after I'd seen this man, I had cards in my purse that I needed to give. And so I was searching this whole store for these people. And finally, just before I got to the check stand, there's that man and his wife. And I said, "I have something for you. God told me to give this to you." And he looked at me, "Okay." And so I gave him the cards. I gave her one and I gave him one. They opened them up, they looked at him, and he looked at the very back of the page, and it says, "Jesus is coming soon. He died for you." And he didn't respond to me. She didn't really respond to me either, except for saying thank you. I am so, I don't want to say the word depressed, but I was physically upset and heartbroken because I got my car. And I was listening to the radio, and I said, "Father, you have got to do something because I am just not happy right now." And I was hurting. And on that radio station, the person that was speaking said, "Don't be despaired. I am with you, and I am yours." That was yesterday. My God is alive. My Jesus loves me. I've been chosen, I've been redeemed, and I have been saved to the fact that God cannot fail. We are his children. And I came this morning and was checking those cards to make sure there were some here for people to get. I've handed out a couple this evening. And most of the time when I give somebody a card outside of the church, they're very grateful. I have only had a couple people say, "Oh, no, thank you, that's quite all right." And I said, "It's from Jesus." And they still don't want it. Okay, fine. My purpose, Pastor, my purpose is those cards. My God has for years given me that purpose. I don't know how many cards I have given out. I was raised in the Church of God. Sorry. And I've gone to a lot of churches. God loves us all. I don't care what cloud you live under. He loves us all. If you're in a church that loves him and is preaching the word, you're where you're supposed to be. God moved me here because I was going through a really really hard time. And he, every day, he shows me that I am important. I am blessed. I have been chosen. And I told Pastor Shane a couple Sundays ago, I have been in so many churches down through my years, and this is the first one I've ever been in that when I walk in the door, I feel the Holy Spirit. The day that I walked in here, I was so impressed with the humility of this building. I've gone to churches that were very, very, oh yay, how beautiful, and that's pretty, and all this kind of stuff. And that was before the flood. This place has grown and improved so much since the flood. I am not kidding you, and these people have loved it enough, have loved the Father enough, that they are sacrificing to do what God wants them to do. And what they're doing, that building out there is not going to take long to get finished, because this community needs it more than I can even begin to tell you. But when God tells me, I'm saying, Father, I don't know what I'm doing, or I need your help, and on the radio comes, do not be despaired, because I am with you. That is the biggest testimony that I can give you. He loves me, I love him, and for heaven's sake, I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I get angry. I get hurt. But God is there every second of my life. And Pastor, this is the first Holy-filled church that I have gone to, and I have got to tell you that I have learned more in this last 2 years than I have in my 77 years or 75 years previous. So anyhow, there are cards over here. If you know somebody that you're going to see at a grocery store or you're going to see at a gas station, get a card and take it to them. That is my purpose, but you're going to be the extension of my purpose, because God, he had 12 disciples, for heaven's sake. I've been Peter a lot, but I don't plan on staying there. But there's a lot of room for all of us.
Amen.
God needs us all. He does.
Amen. Amen.
Right. We got time for one more. Vern, you got one? So we got time for one more before we turn it over to Marcia.
I'll hold it. Go ahead. I'll hold it.
In the beginning, God created the world. And you know what? It was without form or void. It was just a big blob. And then God does everything in threes. You know, water turns to ice, it turns to steam. That's three. Then he takes a man and a woman and a blob, and he made me and you without form or void. We were all just a blob. God is a miracle worker, and he turns a blob into something useful. And if you see a covered wagon going down the street without a horse, it was just a blob when I started with it. And it's been very, very much a blessing to me, and have the privilege to minister in the highways and hedges, because mm-hmm. that's where he sends me.
Amen.
The day I became a Christian in Japan, 1953, I started right out in the streets of Japan, working with a missionary, handing out tracts and learning the language and bringing people to the knowledge of salvation. To this day, that's what I do. That's what God showed me to do. And if I had 3 days and 3 nights to share what God has done with me, oh, what a story. Yeah. I'm just a blob.
You're his blob, though.
Okay, real quick, I'm going to read off to him that that Glenda got over text real quick. So one's from Susan Collin. Just wanted to say thank you to Pastor Shane. Without the church in Myrtle Creek, my family that lives there would not be saved today. I just praised God for their salvation. And again, thank you, Pastor Shane, for being so much, or such a good, faithful servant. So there's that one. And then there's one from Cesar Garcia. Thank you to Harvest Christian. You've been a complete blessing to me and my family's lives. Thank you for being a beacon of light and hope.
Good job.
Well, I'm not used to doing this, but here we are. If my testimony is from my time at Harvest Christian Assembly, that narrows things down a bit. That pretty much aligns with my moving to this beautiful community of Myrtle Creek and my marriage to my wonderful husband, Laverne, 2.5 years ago. I've always been a Christian, but my experience here at Harvest Christian has been a time of enlightenment and growth in my Christian walk. It's been a time of many blessings, a time when I could step up and say, I want to help with a senior group in this church. What a blessing to join Carolyn Dunn to work with our amazing seniors. And one of my greatest blessings was being a part of the birth of our soul wagon, a covered wagon built over a period of about 9 months from a 1920 Dodge for street evangelism. Oh, dear. Let's see. Well, I left. Okay. What I never saw coming and never would have dreamed I would be doing, sharing Jesus, reaching out with my smiles and hugs, handing out tracts, and praying with people. What qualifies me to pray with or over anyone? I never saw that coming. And without Harvest Christian Assembly, I probably never would have been able to step up to that role. But I guess if God called me to do this, he is equipping me as I go. Talking with a stranger in the Ray's Market parking lot who has just confided in me about her breast cancer. Only God could enable me to offer to pray with her. And she accepted with gratitude and hugs. What a blessing. But like Pastor Shane says, you don't need a pulpit and you don't need a soul wagon. We can all step out and do something in a supermarket parking lot or the post office or wherever. It can start with a smile, a good morning as you're to neighboring those at neighboring table when leaving a restaurant, or to the checker after checking out, can pave a way. Since coming to Harvest Christian Assembly, I am so blessed. At a doctor's appointment the other day, I was asked a battery of questions. In the last week, how many days have you felt depressed? None. How many days have you felt worried? None. Afraid? None. I will never again have any other answer. Thank you, Jesus. And that's all the glory to God. So I thank you, Jesus. I thank Pastor Tammy, all of the people in this wonderful church for their warm welcome and their love. And so I thank Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So through the testimony tonight, one of the things that we can all see, and I know everybody in here has a testimony. Some people aren't ready to share it yet, and that's okay. But the one thing we see through all of this is how much impact the teachings of Harvest Christian Assembly through our pastor has impacted our lives. you know, you said today, you said, talked about, you know, we need to start in our community and we need to build to the different communities and let South County know who Jesus is. And I think that through your teachings and through everything you do, you are you're doing exactly what God's called you to do, and you're leading the right people out there to go out there and just start planting seeds and start talking to folks and start just spreading the word and spreading who Christ is. Okay, so one thing we're going to do here is as our senior team has asked us, we're going to go ahead and shut the lights off, and in recognition of Pastor Shane's light, that that Jesus shines through him to all of us in our teachings. Feel free to go ahead and turn your cell phones on. Turn your lights on your cell phone, and we'll use that kind of as a candlelight vigil through our cell phones.
Demonstration is to show you three things. One, that we hear you, not just listen, but we hear you. And yes, your mic is on. Two, to thank you for sharing your light. And three, that we are ready to let our light shine. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Well, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over Myrtle Creek. Shine all over Myrtle Creek.
I'm gonna let it shine. Shine, shine all over Myrtle Creek. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Won't let Satan blow it out. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine.
Won't let Satan blow it out.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Won't let Satan put it out.
I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine.
All right, Father God. Father God, thank you for this opportunity tonight, Lord. Just thank you for the blessings that you brought into this house through the years, Lord, especially tonight with giving everybody the ability to get up and share their testimonies, Lord. Just thank you for this opportunity that we all got to listen to our other family members in this house, Lord, so that we can learn from what they're saying, Lord, and we can take exactly the encouragement that they have in their lives that they've shared with us, and we can take that out, Lord, and we can let that amplify and through our lives, Lord. So we just thank you. Watch over us this week, Lord. Just keep us safe and healthy, and bring us back here again Wednesday night for a Bible study. We just thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.